Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, you should therefore serve me for nothing. Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go to her." Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went to her. Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. He had said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me?" But Laban said, "It is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve me for another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm sure when Jacob realized what had happened to him, he was probably a little upset. But God was at work, and God is constantly at work in situations where we feel like, why do I have to go through this? And God says, I'm going to use it. And we're assured of that in Romans, the 8th chapter. And in this passage of Scripture, we find several verses that we've kind of sunk our fingernails into and held on to and find that God's holding on to us even as these truths are lived out in us. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 26. "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we believe this is your word. Whether we've begun to live it or not. But it's our heart as we sit here under your teaching that your Spirit would move in us in a powerful way so that we would want to live this. That we would want to see how you are constantly involved in our lives, shaping us into the image of Jesus. And so we submit ourselves to your hand for that purpose now. In Christ's name, amen. An inmate was serving a 90-day sentence. Well, you know, life in prison, I understand, gets old. And on the 89th day, he finally escaped. Wait a minute. And he was captured. His new sentence was more than 1.5 years. What? Talk about not being able to see the forest for the trees. And then in another situation, United Airlines ran a survey to find out how many people use lavatories in their flights. 38% said they never use one. 60% say they use the lavatory. Now do the math. That leaves 2% who replied that they were unsure if they used the facilities or not. Talk about being self-absorbed. These 2% are fascinating, but I don't think I'd want to sit next to one. Then there was the woman who gave birth to a 7-pound, 5-ounce son. Just 12 hours after she learned that she was pregnant. And she tried to explain this. She says, you know, I remember times when he was moving around a lot, but I thought it was just gas. Hello? For several months, the little boy was trying to get mom's attention. And several indicators could have clued her in, but she just didn't get it. In a similar way, God is really evident. He's all around us. And he's giving us clues constantly about his presence with us throughout all the struggles of life. The Holy Spirit, as we read about the presence of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8, is constantly making God's presence known to us. But sometimes we're so self-absorbed, we just don't see it. And so the question is, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, what does it take for God to get your attention? Does he have to hitch up alongside the head with a 2x4? He doesn't want to do that, by the way, but he'll do whatever it takes because he wants us to know how present he is and how much mercy and grace flows from him to us if we'll only get our arms open for it. It's really hard at times for God to break through this haunting futility of our lives when we're focused on all the lesser things of life, when we've got our iPhones and our iPads and our Samsung, whatever they are. You know, we've got them in our hands. Have you been out to dinner recently and looked at what life is like at most of the tables? Almost everybody has a little thing in their hand. And God's trying to get our attention, but we're so distracted. What does it take? God's always at work. Now, if you're speechless, if you're groping for words in your own weakness, this passage of Scripture says God will pray for us. In fact, He is praying for us. Verse 26 of Romans 8 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Katie and Emily Benton were sightseeing in London. And they got on the underground at 9 a.m. And suddenly, they were blasted from their seats. Everything went black. Emily says, "I felt like my skin was peeling off." And she looked at the woman who was next to her, who was dead. Speechless, these sisters clung to one another. So where was God in all of this? If I read it right, God was praying. God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, who is the intercessor, saw everything that was happening. And the Holy Spirit was interpreting the need of these two women to the Father. Rescue teams appeared. Medical technicians tended to them. And here's where you see the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Katie, instead of simply being angry, which is it's kind of the way that we quickly go to, you know, we just get angry at stuff. She said, "I feel sorry for these people that they would be so misled as to blow up an underground train and hurt so many people." If you're speechless and you're groping for words in your weakness, God's already at work. Jesus sees us in our weakness, and He intercedes for us according to this passage of Scripture. And the Spirit prays with sighs that are too deep for words. You know, when you get to that place, when you words fail you, the Holy Spirit is right there praying for you, surrounding you with a depth of love, with whatever it is that's going on in your life. And then when you're going through this tough stuff, this piece of Scripture also says, "I'm going to shape you in your trial so you'll begin to look like Jesus." Verse 28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to do what? To become conformed to the image of His Son." That's God's program for you and for me. It's not about just trying to make us feel good. He's trying to shape us. And some of us, as God puts His shaping tools on us, are batting His arms, His hands out of the way. He says, no. And God says, "Well, if you won't let me do this, you're not going to look like Jesus." And that's the goal. Those who are committed to the purposes of God have the comfort of knowing that God's faithful to work His purposes out no matter what's happening to us. We're going through a broken relationship, an illness that we're struggling with. A bomb blows up. A tornado comes through and wrecks our house. Whatever it is, we can respond in a very human way. And God says, I understand that. He says, now lean a little deeper into this. I want to use this to help you look like Jesus. Because that's when you're going to be the most usable for my kingdom. And isn't that your desire? Isn't that what you gave your life for? You gave your life to me so that I can use you to build my kingdom. And I can use you best when you look like Jesus. God sees every moment of our lives in what, in our understanding, is eternity past. But for him, it's eternity present. He sees what's happening. Jesus did not give up. His power is the power of the gospel, this good news. And power is a very important theme in the book of Romans. This power was given to Jesus. And what did he do with it? He used it to serve. And he served in the most amazing way. He surrendered his life, knowing that in that surrender, he was going to do something that nobody else could do. He was going to open a way to the Father, a way that was blocked by our own sin, by our own stubbornness, our own brokenness. And he says, okay, I'll do it. I'll die for you. All you need to do is say no to your sin and put your trust in me. And the way is open. That's the way God wants us to live our lives. To say no to sin, to open ourselves to the work of Christ in our midst so that we start to look more like Jesus. And we become conformed to the image of his Son. Now, as I made reference just a few moments ago, too many of us give up or rebel before the image of Christ is fully formed. And what God is saying is, I want you to trust me. Yeah, what you're going through is horrendous, but I want you to trust me through it. Jesus did that. As the hammer fell on the nails, Jesus didn't resist it. He knew that God was using it. He knew that God was in control and would use this. That should be the go-to position for every one of us. God is using this. I mean, do we know in the church who's in control? Verse 32 says this, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? God's in control. It's a horrendous mess we go through. But God says, I'm working this. Trust me. When you're going through this tough stuff, I'm shaping you. When you're being accused, when you're being condemned, even if you're guilty, he says, I'm justifying you. Verse 33, we read, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. I'm justifying you, even though you're broken and guilty. Now, on the screen, you see a picture of a man that you should recognize. Charles Colson, made famous because of the Watergate scandal. And in his book, Born Again, he writes about his conversion experience. He says, it was that night in the quiet of my room that I made the total surrender. And this is what he said. Lord, if this is what it's all about, then I thank you. I praise you for leaving me in prison. What? You know the Spirit of God is at work when you're able to talk that way. For letting them take away my license to practice law. Yes, even for my son to be arrested. I praise you for giving me your love through these men, for being God, for just letting me walk with Jesus. God is justifying us, making us complete when we are being accused by the evil one who is constantly saying, look at this one. That one's worthless. Look at that one. She's worthless. And God says, no, no, no. I won't let you do this to my beloved. I justify them by my work. With these words, for Colson came the greatest joy of all, his final release. He turned it all over to God, and he knew that salvation was a free gift for him. Not free, Jesus paid, but for him it was a free gift, regardless of anything that he had done, and that God, through all of this turmoil, was justifying him. He was being redeemed. To be redeemed means to be purchased out of the marketplace. Colson was for sale for the highest bidder, and sin was doing a pretty good job. But there's a higher bidder than sin. Jesus. The blood of Jesus trumps everything. And because this love, it's constantly at work in us. We are also learning from this passage of Scripture that nothing can come between you and God's eternal love. God's love is unconditional. Nothing can come between us and God, because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere we go. He's always at work, whether we see him or not. And once we get mixed up with Jesus, nothing can break us apart from him. A boy was watching his mom bake a cake, and there was a stick of butter and all the other ingredients. And as the beater did its work, it broke the stick into smaller and smaller pieces, and then the butter started to melt. And pretty soon, the butter was indistinguishable from the rest of the ingredients. And the little boy said, "Where's the butter?" And she said, "It's in there. You can never take it out again." When Christ is at work in us, he becomes so integrated with us that nothing can separate us from his love. It's unconditional love that's there for an eternity. That's why we call this good news. That's what gospel means, good news. Because we're not left to rot in some prison cell or in the loneliness of our own thoughts, which are always condemning us. And it's sad that not more people are able to see how God is at work. It was 1:25 on a Saturday morning when a pipe bomb exploded in Atlanta's Centennial Park. In the midst of all the festivities of the Olympics in Atlanta, this pipe bomb killed a woman and injured over 100 people. The whole world knew. It was in such a prominent place. Reporters rushed to the scene. And finally, Eric Rudolph pleaded guilty in April of 2005 to that crime. He also pleaded guilty to an abortion clinic shooting and a gay bar bombing. He had a very twisted sense of power. But he had the world's attention. Everybody was talking about this. God is more powerfully at work than any bomber. He does use these things, but they're not his doing. He takes crosses and bombs and broken relationships and whatever else you can add into the mix, and he says, I'm going to purpose through this. I'm going to use this to shape you. And you're going to look better than you've ever looked, because you're going to look like my son. God is gently calling us through his Holy Spirit. He's praying for us and transforming us and justifying us and loving us unconditionally. And in Jesus Christ, God has shown us just how much he cares. It's just too bad that the bombers won't stop and take the time to listen to the eternal lover who wants to justify them too with his own blood. We don't have to turn to violence for attention. God says, I'll give you all the attention you'd ever want, all the truth, all the love that you need, I'll give to you if you'll just become aware of my presence. And so the question is, can God have your attention? Because he wants to say some powerfully wonderful things. Read Romans 8. I would encourage you to read this passage of Scripture over. Take a week and read it over and over again. Take a month, take a year, and read Romans 8 over and over and over again. And see what the Holy Spirit does in you, just as he's done it in me and many other people who have submitted themselves to the power of his word. Three people here this morning are going to give witness to their submission to the power of his word. Three people whose lives are in transformation. Three people who a year ago probably didn't see themselves sitting where they are now. But God was at work using some tough stuff in each of your lives and saying, I'm going to purpose through this. Everything that's happening now, I'm going to work for good, because I'm calling you according to my purposes. I want you to look like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the work of your Spirit, who just won't quit, who constantly is drawing us and shaping us and using all kinds of terrible circumstances and saying, watch what I do with this. Lord, your power is amazing. And we are in awe of it. Lord, shape our lives. Marguerite earlier today said that she wanted to give her life to Jesus, to rededicate it. And so, Lord, now we stand with Marguerite. And I ask Marguerite if you would stand, and anybody that would come and stand with her. Lord, you know the struggle that Marguerite has been experiencing in these last few weeks. It's reduced her to tears, and we know that you want to dry those tears and use them to wash away the struggles of her life. We know the struggles will still be there at times, but we know that you want to use them to shape her. And we don't know exactly how you're going to do that, Lord, but you heard her voice saying, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. And so, Lord, we together as a church stand with her. And we ask, Lord, that the powerful flow of your Spirit would do amazing work in Marguerite. We give her to you, and we give ourselves to you to be used for the transformation of this person so that she looks more like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.